This morning I'm going to finish up what we started on the Form of Sound Words, that book. We've went through about half of it, and I'm going to go through, you know, to some degree I'm going to bring out some more highlights of that book. Now, there's a lot of, we have no end of reading material, obviously, in our group, more than any other group. In fact, there's really no religion that has as much background in Bible knowledge that people who follow the mystery and try to understand the fullness that the Lord is showing us, teaching us, presenting himself to us on. But I'd like to bring up Mrs. Mack, who was the first lady, really. You know, there were three ladies I told you about that helped me into when I first came into the ministry, and I want to talk a little bit about her. But first, I'm going to open up in a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for each one here. We pray that we can stand up for you, stand up for your word. Use us, help us. We pray these things in your great name. Amen. All right, now, Mrs. Mack, if it wasn't for her, we would have never had the first Bible conference here in Phoenix. And the reason I'm just now bringing that up is because Jean reminded me of that after our last Bible conference, because I brought up every name except hers, but no one was really more behind it than her. But of course, Jean and Phyllis were also behind it. Jean told me to, she reminded me of that. So, but anyway, you could go over to Mrs. Mack's house, and she had a book. She had a bookcase full of books. A MacBook, I don't know. I'm not sure what that means, Tony. But I don't think he has a Mac. Okay. All right. Yeah, Mrs. McWilliams, who is Jan McWilliams' mother, mother-in-law, you know, Jim's mother. She was an amazing woman. She raised a bunch of kids on her own when her husband died, and the kids were very young. She was an amazing woman. But anyway, she had all these books, and so even before we had a group in Phoenix, so to speak, she had a book ministry, you know, just like we do in South Carolina now. But anyway, I bought every single one of the books that she had. I don't know how many there were. One of them I read all the way through was The Great Cloud of Witnesses. And at the time I thought, wow, this is deep, man. It's like took me a while to get through it. I don't know, 40 hours maybe. But it reads fairly easily, though, as a book. But I remember about 10 years ago, I looked through that book again, and I thought, yeah, I know all of this stuff. And I was thinking, yeah, I remember when this used to all seem like, you know, something too much for me, you know. Bullinger was just too deep for me. But same as this book, Form of Sound Words, if you'd spend an hour just thumbing through it, you'd get something out of it. You know, if you spend, you know, whatever time you spend, you're going to get a lot out of it. But I think it's a good book for someone just coming into the teaching that we have. And to start with, turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we'll read 11 through 14. And it says, and we read this last time, but I just want to get us, you know, where we left off. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher to the Gentiles. Here we said that, you know, in the first chapter of the Form of Sound Words, we established that Paul was an apostle, and that had to be brought out soon. I mean, you have to bring that out, that I'm appointed, Paul said. So he had to let people know that this is Holy Scripture that I'm writing. And he knew it. He knew what he was writing was Holy Scripture. Because here we'll see in verse 13, but first in verse 12 says, for which cause I also suffer these things. Now in the note, he turned it around. He said, for which I suffer these things also. So the same things you suffer, Timothy, I suffer also things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. So he tells Timothy, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me. So these are holy word, holy scripture, because these are the form of sound words which you heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing, or that good deposit, and this is speaking to all of us, even though he's speaking to Timothy here, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us. Now, the good deposit he left with Timothy wouldn't be the same as he did with us, but each one of us has a ministry. And that's one thing that is brought out many times in Paul's epistles, how that we're going to suffer. All of us, you know, it's like Paul said, for which things I also suffer. You know, if you're going to stand up for the Lord, there's always going to be people who, for the most part, that's where the suffering comes from, other people. Not 100%. Of course, you could get caught out in, you know, the cold or, you know, whatever like that, but, you know, maybe your car breaks down when you're on the way to a message or something, and, you know, you just be diligent for the Lord, and all those things are going to be remembered. The Lord remembers all of those things. But, so, this is where we get the title for the book, The Form of Sound Words. And also, I want to read verse 1-5 of Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, just to give you an idea of what a great man he was. Timothy was an example. That's why Paul wrote this epistle. He chose Timothy because he was such a good example. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith. What is that? Unfeigned faith. Somebody that'll stand up for the Lord no matter what. He'll die for the Lord even. That takes a little bit of maturity in the word, but eventually I think we get there. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. And Miss Mack had unfeigned faith. I can tell you that. Phyllis did, and so did Jean. And they were patient. They were good teachers, and I'm just proud and happy that I had them, that the Lord brought them along in my life. There is one thing I might say, though. I told you last week there's 140 pages in this book. Penny in New Mexico told me that she has one that is only 70 pages. So that was knowledge to me that there were two publications of this book, The Form of Sound Words. I think she told me hers was published in 1936. So that's how old that's when these truths came out to the world. Okay, then I'm going to turn to the contents page again of the Form of Sound Words. And I'm doing okay so far on time. Let's see. So, yeah, and, you know, the first one we said, you know, Paul was an apostle, you know. And if you're looking at the contents page, chapter 1 talked about, you know, to be like Timothy, to be like Paul. Paul was an example as an apostle, you know. Look up to him. These are the teachings. This is the ministry that we need to have. We need to look up to Paul. Okay, and then the next chapter, the inspiration of Scripture, we said all Scripture, you know, Paul wrote that verse. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, you know, from the Holy Spirit. So, you know, that includes Paul's writings, of course, that, you know, they were inspired. So that's one thing that, you know, a lot of people that would read this book, they, you know, might not know any of these truths, would, you know, might have different stumbling blocks. But once you see these things, it's different. Now, there, you know, when you say you see the mystery, when I say I see the mystery, when I was younger there under these three women and Barney and different people, Oscar and different people, I saw the dispensational aspects of mystery, and that's actually chapter chapter seven. We're going to get into it, the longest chapter in this, and I'm going to show you how that stands apart from the rest of the book here. But you know, so but it took, in the last 50 years, I've been learning the mystery in that the fullness of Christ. You know, you can study that forever. You can always keep studying the fullness of Christ, and you'll keep seeing the mystery better and better. And Christ, in fact, is the very center of the mystery and is the mystery. We get to know him better. But for those who have seen the dispensational aspects of it, it's no longer a mystery to us, that part of it. It's a mystery to the world. And to those who won't look into it. But, okay, then in chapter 3, let me see. This was, page 32, we read that. It's a long list of things that are chapter 3, things that are of God. Page 32 had all that long list of things that are of God. And those were all through Paul's writings. So that's probably the best article you're ever going to read. It's only a few pages, I think 7 or 8 pages, on that subject, things that are of God. He has put so much in that chapter about it, and it's very succinct. You'll never see a better organized article than that. First, chapter 4 we talked about. Let's see, and I'm going to turn to page 40. I want to read something to you, just to give you one highlight here. You know, it's talking about God manifest, and here's three verses to go along with that. So on page 40, and you see, if you're looking at that, there's three verses he gives. 1, Colossians 1, 15, 16. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Then in Hebrews 1, 3, he is the express image of his, that is, God's person. And the third one, Philippians 2, 6, he was in the form of God. So these are all writings by Paul, and it gives us more knowledge about God himself, how he was manifest, who he is, his character. That's what we do. The more we get to know the Bible, the better we get to know the Lord. And, you know, we say that a lot, but, you know, that's where our faith comes from. So then in chapter 5, God manifested in the flesh. God manifested in the flesh. And this shows Christ's deity. And then Acts, let me see if I have a tab here. Acts 11:32. I've got it written here. Hold on. Acts 11. No, there is no Acts 11:32. Okay, so what did I want here? I'm not sure why I wrote that. I'll go on. Let's see. All right, now. So now that's where we left off. We left off, God manifested in the flesh. So now we're on chapter 6, sin and the sacrifice for sin. But before I get into chapter 6, let me elaborate a little bit on what I said about chapter 7 being a separate book, because I'm going to turn to page 69, where it starts, and read the first paragraph. It says, Welsh talking in chapter 7, dispensational truth and the importance of Acts 28 considered. It says, we have considered some of the outstanding doctrines of salvation. Okay, so the way I've told you was that these chapters are foundations of, you know, these are foundations of truth that we need, you know, to understand our teaching, so to speak. He worded it to say these are outstanding doctrines. So all of these first 6 chapters are outstanding doctrines, and, you know, they're all things that, through Paul, that helps us, you know, to grow. So that, I wanted to say that before I talked on chapter 6, because that's, you know, that's another one, just something else that we want to, you know, study, you know, to be able to answer any man of the hope that is in us, and so on. So, let's see, in page, let's see. Let's turn to page 61. And Horace used to do these, by the way. He used to do book reports in our Bible studies. He used to do have the bookstore himself. Him and Kathleen for years did the book ministry. I'm not sure, you know, to what extent they helped, you know, South Carolina and all that, and all, how that all went. But in page 61, you see, it says, I'm just going to read this one. It's talked about sin and the sacrifice for sin. But before I do that, let me say that, you know, Paul was talking to Gentiles who didn't know anything about the Old Testament. He was also talking to Jews who should have known a lot about the Old Testament. But he opened up the Old Testament and explained it to the world. And in one verse it says, he taught that Jesus was very Christ. He opened up the book, the Old Testament, and showed Jews, Gentiles alike, that this is speaks of Christ only, and he showed them why. So, you know, a lot of Gentiles followed him. A few Jews did. His thing was, when he would go into a city, though, he talked to the Jews first, even though he was an apostle to the Gentiles. To the Jew first. During this time. Now, Paul had two courses. Paul had two courses. This is the thing that we need to see. And the first course was turned to Acts chapter 20, 22 to 24. Acts chapter 20 says, and now behold, this is Paul talking, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course. Here's the word course in the book of Acts. None of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. So that was his first course. Now in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, Paul says, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. So that was his second course. Paul had two courses, and this is what the world doesn't see. They like to throw everything he wrote into one big bag, shake it up any way you want to shake it up, pull anything out. Oh, yeah, I used to baptize, but I don't, you know, Paul didn't make a big deal. You know, we can just shake everything up, and it doesn't matter. It's all truth for today, so to speak. So that's what this book brings out, Paul's two courses. And these things about sin, no one knew these things until Paul brought them out. You know, that Christ became the propitiation for your sin. And he goes through a lot of things like that, that Paul revealed, that came to us through Paul. You know, sin means to miss the mark. Literally, it means to miss the mark. But he also talks about a covering that, let's see. Yeah, I have that one written down. I could have written down more stuff. It's just hard to say. I'm just trying to find some things to just give us a little bit of insight into this book. But, you know, that what he said there in Acts chapter 20, you could splice, what is it, Ephesians 3:9. You could splice that in there, and it says, and now behold, I know you all, let's see, I have finished my course, which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. See, I'm taking Acts chapter 20, verse 24, I'm taking the first half of it, even though this is not, you know, the way Paul did it. But none of these things move me. This is our ministry today. None of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy to bring to light the fellowship of the mystery. So if you want a purpose in life, that's it. Follow Paul, as he said to, and you'll be following Christ by doing that. Because that's how Christ instructed us to do. Okay, so, you know, it's a good study, but the whole point is that, you know, we now have Christ by grace, and Paul showed that. We're no longer under the law and so forth. So these are good lessons for someone. To see someone, you know, in any church, you know, if we could just get them, if you can just get them to see one thing, there's often a domino effect like that. You know, then they start saying, okay, I see it. And then a lot of other things fall into place for them also. So, in chapter 7, let's see, what did I say here? Okay. Let's turn to page 76. See, here again, this whole chapter could be put, into a booklet. It's pretty good. It brings out all of the, dispensational aspects of why there's two courses, the different meanings that we have on, why this one stands out. The mystery stands out more than anything else. It's the very center of truth in the Bible. It's the very center point if you look at Appendix 198. But, let's see. Basically, this chapter is, it's something that I think most of it, if you thumb through it, you would know most of it. But if you've never seen it, you have to take it page by page and read it. But I think this whole book, if you thumb through it, you'd say, yeah, I know that. Because you had years in it. I'm still looking for something here. Well, one thing, lesson we used to have was the 10 signposts in the book of Acts. And I used to have that article and I lost it. I wish I could still had it if someone has it. The 10 signposts in the book of Acts. Like one of the signposts was Acts 2, where there's Jews only. And on page 76, he says, "Ye men of Judea," he shows you how there's only Jews here. In chapter 2, chapter 1 of Acts talks about, "Wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom?" That's one of the signposts. Cornelius, Peter going to a Gentile, that was a signpost. And it really helped to see that book. But Paul brings in a lot of those things. And, he quotes Joel, this is that was spoken of by the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit would be here. Old men would dream dreams and so forth. So, basically, we take a whole lesson to go through that chapter, but these are just things, different aspects of Christ and how that we came into this this period of time. So then chapter 8, the three spheres of blessings, we studied. That's one of the things we studied right on. But see, now this is kind of a little bit adding on. This is a little bit higher truth now. Now we've seen the mystery, we've rightly divided it, now we're going into different higher truths, and these things help us to see Christ better. But the three spheres of blessing, let's go through a little of that. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, hold on, Ephesians 1, okay, here we see, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." So here's one of the spheres. Here's one of the spheres of blessing, the heavenly places. And you'll see that five times in this book of Ephesians. In the heavenly places, and it's a superlative. It's the highest you can get. It's just, it's just super heavenlies, it's been called, but it's something that never was revealed before. Everything else was Christ on earth. Here's Christ in his fullness. And if we don't worship Christ in his fullness, well, that's one of the things that he's going to, we're going to receive for the good and the bad that we've done in our life. However, I used to say this thing like, we're going to stand before the Lord, or I'd tell people, because it's something that I brought with me from my Acts 13 days. My dad used to tell me, Philip, you know, if I did something wrong, someday you're going to stand before the Lord. And there's a booklet, booklets you used to see with the cartoons. Let me get a glass of water real quick. In 2 Timothy 4:1, it says, he will judge us at his appearing. So, actually, Melanie is the one that pointed this out to me. But when at his appearing, I think we're going to be seated, and everyone will know where everyone else is seated, so to speak. But it's not a competition. In the heavenly places, I don't think anybody's going to look at anything, you know, in a negative light. It's all going to be pointing to Christ in some way, the way we will be manifested someday. So we talked about the heavenly places. Matthew 5:5 is another one. Matthew 5:5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. So that's the earth. And then you have a third one, Galatians. You see it in Galatians and also in Hebrews chapter 11, the New Jerusalem. And let's turn to Galatians 4:25-26. Okay, but Jerusalem, and he's comparing Jerusalem, which is above, to Sarah. He's comparing Jerusalem, which is on earth, which the law came out of Mount Sinai, to Hagar. So, but in 26, he says, but Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice thou barren that beareth not. Actually, I read the wrong verse. Verse 25, for this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. Okay, so that's the third sphere. So, I have a study coming up. It's on New Testament chronology. And it talks about this, and it shows that John 3:16 also plays into this this chronology. You know, we have three spheres of blessings, but John 3:16 was written on this chart that I'm going to present next time. There's two dates. There's the zero and the four BC. But in Bible chronology, from the year zero to 70, those were 10 weeks of seven. There were 70 years. So when Christ was 30, his ministry began. And at 70, there's a 40-year period there, which is a time of trial or a time of testing. So that's where I place John 3:16. So because nobody that is saved today is saved under Paul's, even though the first seven books shows you how to be saved, when we're saved, we're not. It's not to the Jew first as it was there, but so you know the point is John 3:16 finished the New Testament, and I call it New Testament chronology, but the Jews were on the scene all the way through, all the way to the first 9 weeks. The seventh week, the tenth week was the mystery. Anyway, I want to bring that up, but I think this helps, this chart also shows the mystery is the very center of everything when it comes to the chronology. So that, I think, will be a good follow-up on what I'm talking about here today. But anyway, that's a study. We can go into the three spheres of blessings, but it's, it's good if we could all, give our, comments and things as we go. And then on page 138, we get to the final chapter here. It says, and I'm out of time. Am I?
No.
No. Okay. Okay, let's see. Page 138. Here's a nice little chapter. He talks about all the seven books, a little bit about each one. Let's see. He talks about the Ephesians, Colossians of standing in our state. In Ephesians, he talks about the dispensation of the mystery, the church, which is his body. You know, he brings out the highlights of Paul's, what his truths were. Now, I want to read one thing, though. On page 139, it says, the first paragraph you see there, the limits which have been set in the writing of this book preclude any attempt to deal with the mystery itself or to analyze the contents of these prison epistles. Should the reader desire further help thereon, his attention is directed to the booklets entitled For Above All and That Blessed Hope, and to the larger volume entitled The Testimony of the Lord's Prisoner, and so on. You know, he talks about other reading material, although he, at places in this book, he talks about the mystery. It's not, it's just verses that come out. It's not specifically trying to focus on that. But again, the longer you've been in the mystery, have you ever met somebody that's been in the mystery? I remember when I first came into it, it was like I knew there were a lot of people. In California, for example, that they were in their older years, though, but they had a peace about them. Here's these people that I'm hanging around for the first time in my life, and I see something in them, that I think is real. Study of the mystery takes a lifetime, but to see it, the dispensational aspects, I think, I think we can do that in some people do it faster than others, but, it takes a desire to see it, and the Lord will give it to you. So, let's see. Let me say also one last thing. A couple of years ago, I've learned a lot in the last 2 years with this group. And I've never told you this one, though. And I want to call out Dr. Mike, who one day he's talking about the dating of Hebrews. And it's going to come up in my next lesson. I'm going to show you how I date it. But Mike also teaches that Hebrews came early. Ron did. Well, one day Mike said, why would Hebrews be written late? And here's how he said it. Why would you keep going over and over and over all of these things they should have already known before Paul got into the... Anyway, that's what it took, Mike. So I give you a spiritual pat on the back, because from that date, I used to date Hebrews in the 2 years, because there's similarities between Hebrews and Philippians, but now that changed. All my dating has changed. I don't teach. I was talking to Alan yesterday about it, about, you know, the dating, and he's got a lot of good ideas too on it. But in any case, we're students. We're growing. We need to help each other. And we have a great library to go to, and this is a great book. And with that, I'm going to go ahead and close in a word of prayer. Thank you, our good Heavenly Father, that we trust, we come to, we know that you're real, that you have concern for our lives. You know all of the troubles we go through, and you allow suffering for a reason. But we pray, Lord, that you'll help us stand tall, help us stand firm in the faith, stand up for you, because we know that's what's right, Lord. And thank you for each one. Put your hand on them as we go our separate ways. Keep us all safe in your grace. We thank you in your wonderful, great name. We pray these things. Amen.